Let's enter the crucible. Welcome to episode 3 of Enter the Crucible. I'm one of your co-hosts, Matthew, aka Mayhew.
I thought you were going to talk about what you play.
I play, for this podcast, I play Kador.
Kador.
Nailed it.
Kador.
I'm Clint, Big Clinto on the forums. Mm-hmm. And for this podcast, I play Cephalix.
Full choice.
All right, I'm Matt. I'm Sooner Matt on the forums. I don't think I've posted since 2003 or so.
Yeah, they purged them. They purged my name.
That was your 40th birthday, okay. Right?
I redid it when they did the Kickstarter, so I have a little icon next to my name. I think I posted something just to see it.
Riveting
yeah,
stuff.
Thanks. It's good stuff there. I guess officially I play pigs and circle and...
Occasionally trolls,
but Clint was playing trolls, but now Clint's playing Cephalix, but that's just for this podcast, so...
I don't own any of them yet. I just play them for this podcast.
Okay. Yeah. We'll talk
He's
about
not playing in the actual battle report. He's just playing Cephalix.
Wait a second. So Troll Circle and Pigs.
I was going to proxy Exelon Texas.
And this is why we don't start drinking at 11. I'm Pirate Captain. I play Signar and Gunbjorn.
I'm John Carter. I play Crix and Gators.
This is Mike. I play Crix and Legion.
So we have two new additions to the podcast for this episode.
I feel like I have met them before.
I believe so.
Maybe.
So, Matt, who are you? What have you done with yourself?
Well...
What do you feel about your space in life?
What's your 5-year plan?
Yes.
I'm going to buy a house eventually. As far as the Warma Hordes go, I played in Mark 1, and it was lame. Then I gave him my Crix to Carter. Then I stopped playing games for a while. So now in Mark 2, I played Legion, and everybody hated it, so I gave my Legion to Mike for some monies. Then I gave my Menoth to Jeff, so I give everyone away.
When do I get an army from you? When's going to be my time, Lord? When?
Pretty soon. So right now I play Circle. I have Trolls. I have Pigs. Probably have the majority of the painted pigs in the great southeast of the United States.
I would tend to agree with that.
So 3 painted models?
I said majority. Whatever that comes out to.
So pigs is probably your main faction.
I would say so. I like playing pigs. I realize they're not that good, but I actually enjoy the games more often than not.
He likes porking.
Thank you.
Aha.
Thank you.
I'm actually very much looking forward to Helga the Conqueror. I think she's going to be freaking awesome.
Based on artwork.
That battle engine is going to be so bad, though.
You got Rask, so I deserve something.
That battle engine is going to be so bad.
That lady saying, that's it. I'll never play minions.
Or if it's just, don't play minions.
Mike, why don't you introduce yourself and your career and history?
My name is Mike Orlieb. I'm Ort47 on the Privateer forums. Started a couple years back with Crix. Local press ganger showed me the ropes of the game. Slow grew from there. Once I got comfortable with the game and Crix in general, I added some Legion, and then I added Signar as well. And kind of go back and forth between the three factions, primarily Dojo with Crix because they are my first love. But spent a lot of time thinking about Legion and Signar as well. And overall, just enjoy those and every other aspect of the game.
All right. So we're going to do a quick, what are you working on? I know that Mike has something that he's working on while we're still talking to him.
Yeah, I'm actually painting Iacos right now. So when I first got word of the Journeyman Warcasters from the Kickstarter, I was really excited about getting one for Crix and was very happy with his rules when they came out. So I think there's a lot of different homes for lists with Iacos. Primarily, I think, with P. Denny in the Quality Guns P. Denny shooting list with a Leviathan.
Yeah, we had that on a recent episode.
Yeah, so Iacos is fantastic there. I use him with Gorshade 3 right now in my All the Vengeance releases list. Well, almost all the Vengeance releases. The only thing I don't use in that list is a Scarlock Commander.
Well, now you have to get it in there.
Yeah, well, we'll figure it out. But yeah, so just painting up Iacos in the hopes of being able to use them on a future podcast in a different style of Crix list. So
awesome. So, Clint.
Yes.
The current project you're working on?
Yes. I'm a little bummed out.
This also makes me sad.
Yes. So,
everyone's sad.
I just recently bought a bunch of gators and pigs. So I wanted to start playing some minions. One, I get it. I'm sitting there and, you know, I'm waiting for my bases to come in so I can start converting up my stuff. And, you know, I want to do this gator, kind of a Aztec lizard man from GW theme where the gators are all orange and blue. Go Gators. That's where I went to school. So it's kind of nerdy, but I'm going to paint them orange and blue or have somebody paint them orange and blue. So I get a text from Mehu saying something like, I'm sorry, or this has to hurt.
My condolences.
My condolences, something like that. I click the link and plastic gator kit.
Better sculpted plastic.
Better sculpted, really beautiful,
yeah.
Very nice.
Really good.
Really cool.
Right around the corner.
I had already bought my third unit of gators, so I was a little bummed out. But hey, you know, I was going to convert them all up. So I was like, it's not this bad. It's not that bad. I'll just, you know, maybe later I'll pick them up. But I'm going to convert up all the gators, so they're all going to look different. All the units are going to look different. Then I see the forums where you can't use other crap anymore on your conversions.
Well, it's you can't use other crap. It's you can't use intellectual property of another company.
Well,
it's not even you can't use intellectual property. It's you can't use stuff that is obviously something they don't want.
They don't want to get sued, basically.
Yeah, right. But they don't want any type of iconography. They don't want you to use a freaking Space Marine bolter.
The problem with that is that all the conversions that I was going to do is Gatorman with Lizardman iconography, weapon swaps, helmets, stuff like that.
I think you'll actually still be good with like the weapon swaps, and as long as you're not using the actual Gatorman Lizardman symbols.
Yeah.
You can't. You nobody can blame you for painting something orange and blue, just as long as you don't have University of Florida.
Oh yeah, I'm not worried about that. But it's the big thing I wanted to do was put a that whatever altar of sacrifice or whatever they're gonna. The battle engine, the Gator battle engine, on top of one of their dinosaurs kits, the one where the skinks ride on it.
Stegodon, I believe.
Stegodon, yeah.
No, not the Stegodon, the other one.
There's a new one that they recently came out.
The Ankylosaurus-looking thing?
Yeah.
But we all stopped paying attention.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
So that wouldn't have worked either. That's not going to fly.
Yeah, that's right out.
Yeah, that's right out. So I'm just a little bummed. I'm still going to put them together. Still going to get at least the basic Gatorman. Carter's going to paint them, hopefully.
And, just change up the Lizardman weapons just a tiny little bit. I don't think anybody's going to throw a fit. I've got a confrontation sword on one of my...
How dare you?
One of my warhawks.
No one knows what confrontation is, though.
That's fine. It's a great game.
We may get Frenchies. A cease and desist order yet again for mentioning somebody else's. We said Lizardman, and I think you said Space Marine Bolter, which really just...
That's
we're
right
done.
Out.
Yeah, yeah, we're going to get... Sued.
Sued.
Games Workshop's going to come after us.
So welcome to the third and final podcast.
They're going Tom Cruise on our butts. But yeah, other than that, just painting trolls.
All right, well, we had a recap of last week's matchup. Unfortunately, Jeff is not here for the Harbinger versus...
He's at Epcot, because we live in Orlando, and we have much better things to do than you guys do.
He's way more fun.
Yeah, he's at Epcot.
I'm drinking around the sound studio.
Is. Yeah. Well, I think we all are, actually. In fact, I'm going to take a good chug right now.
Exactly. Yeah, so for those of you who aren't familiar with Epcot and the pavilions, you can basically drink cultural drinks from all of the different country pavilions in Epcot, and by the time you're finished...
You are smashed.
Oh, you won't make it all the way around. It's like a mile
and
a quarter
of last week's game.
Smashed.
I think Fire Captain said it best.
Dunn got killed.
Yep, Dunn got killed.
Dunn got shot.
Dunn got shot. Correct. P. Denny shooting does what P. Denny shooting does. Unfortunately, I think Jeff didn't realize exactly how far out Leviathan could reach him and pegging with three power 15s with crippling grasp, so he effectively became power 19s, and it just kind of ended him on turn two. He actually put me in a pretty bad spot where I felt like I had to go for the assassination pretty quick because he feeded on me early, pushed my army back, and his whole army was in the zone, so... It looked like he was going to be in for a scenario victory if I did not start putting assassination pressure on Harbinger. So
right, and that's a good takeaway from that game is that if you're having a really good turn and you are just pushing your opponent back and back, but you play very aggressively and move yourself forward, then what is the potential that you're forcing your opponent into a position where they're going to try an assassination on you? So,
I wouldn't worry about it. I don't think Mayhew should worry about it. I don't think it's an issue.
Yeah,
of course not. Are not an issue. Yes.
What are assassinations?
Never worry about pirate captain in a game with an assassination. That just never happens.
Just to Jeff's credit, Jeff is a very good player, and he'd never seen that list before.
Sure, we've never come across it. And I think if he had just moved his Flamebringers a little bit differently, he could have the block line of sight to Harbinger. And then my plan from that point would have been to just try and force in the martyrdom as much as possible and kill as much of his army.
That's what pirate captains sound like when he drinks his beer. He drinks his beer out of a bowl. Good. It's good.
You won't make it to the podcast.
It's next week, sir. I got plenty of time to... It's not like we're about to turn around and then go play the game after this. That's not what we do.
No.
No.
It's
a whole week away.
You have to maintain the illusion.
Oh, sorry. They're not going to go play the game as soon as we get done sitting around Clint's kitchen table.
Totally not.
This is a dining room, sir.
Excuse me,
this is
a dining
kitchen,
room table.
The kitchen is in the kitchen.
Where's your wife?
The kitchen table's in the kitchen. I don't know. Sometimes I lose
Insert
it for like weeks.
Chauvinistic
weeks on
yeah,
end.
I was ready for an in the kitchen comment. You let me down.
Oh,
yeah,
no. See, that's why I'm married, because I don't make those comments.
In her presence.
In her presence, yes. Exactly. Within earshot.
All right. So this week's matchup is going to be Pirate Captain playing Cray.
He's good.
Whoa. We have a new segment we got to do first.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry.
Yeah, thank you.
I thought we were saving that till the end.
No. We got to get this out of the way. This is a long segment, so it's got to get it out of the way.
We have a new omitted segment coming up.
We have a new segment. It's called Clint's Caster Cliff Notes Corner.
Yay. Dead-um.
There's supposed to be theme music. You didn't bring your keypad, did
you? I gave you dead-um.
I could add theme music.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Sweet. So basically, I wanted to make some... I play a lot of games... or I don't play a lot of games, so I run into a lot of casters where I'm like, can I look at your card? Because I've never played you before. So two recent matchups that I had were played against Thyra and Kara Sloan. And so I wrote down some notes that I think these new players could use. To
very detailed notes.
New players like me could use to, just go into a game with some information. So with Thyra, stay 13 inches away.
Okay.
It's really solid.
This is good wisdom.
Right? Unless they can push with a jack, then it's 14.
Don't.
But
I'd
never
don't
account for that.
Yeah. Don't ever think of that.
So, funny story. I had a little battle report with I played against Thyra, and the guy that I played was really cool. His name is another Matt in our meta. There's like eight of them. It feels like I've never said that joke before. It's weird.
It's a unique name.
Thyra runs into Mulg, tries to kill Mulg, doesn't kill Mulg. Mulg's like, hey, I got this, don't worry. Misses, hits, 8 points of damage, done. It's like, oh no, this is bad. So Buccaneer, run by Ralik, runs around the back, stabs her in the back, double sixes, kills her, done. Buccaneer, MVP of the game. I'm using him in every list now.
All right. So Quint's takeaway, bring Buccaneer, stay 13 inches away.
Yes. That's all
Thyra,
you need.
Done.
That's
yep,
it.
Thyra
that's
done.
It. That's all you need.
Thyra done. Yep. Yeah. So if you're taking notes, which you probably are because I'm talking, stay 13 inches away, bring a Buccaneer. Kara Sloan, she shoots stuff.
She shoots good.
She shoots good.
I really actually want to bring her in. That's...
Yep.
If somehow that army is painted, I think I could make a really strong showing on the podcast. Yeah.
I don't have a battle report for her except for, she said, I'm shooting Borka. And I laughed and said, Borka has Wind Wallop. And he laughed and said, Kara Sloan has a magic weapon rifle.
Weapon master.
Yeah. Well, magic weapon and weapon master. And then I died. Yes. So stay 16 inches away from her. And that was Clint's Caster Cliff Notes Corner.
Very informative. I'm sure everybody who's listened to it had the information that they need.
Blew some people's minds today.
Blew some minds. So now, let's get to the matchup. Today's matchup is going to be...
Wait. We still have another segment before we do the...
Okay, let's go.
Let's just keep making up segments.
I think we are making up a segment right now.
Did you have one? Did anybody? Okay.
No.
Now on to the matchup.
Right. So we have a matchup today. Today's matchup is going to be... Pirate Captain's playing Cray, versus me playing Sorcha 2.
That's cray cray.
Cray cray.
Oh,
oh.
It had to be tough.
Come on, man. People just turned it off.
So, Fire Captain, tell us what cray is. What did he do? And assume that nobody has ever played cray ever.
He may be the best caster on a horse that's not epic. I'm going to go there.
Yeah,
with,
I agree.
With a carbine and a Civil War hat.
That's true.
Okay.
That very specific.
We're narrowing the field a little bit, but we'll run with it.
What if I model a Civil War hat onto Striker 3?
No. That's not an epic caster, no.
You're still epic.
He's an epic caster.
Cray's very interesting. He was, obviously, the first cavalry caster. He has parry and steady, which I think is often forgotten about and very, very useful.
Why does he have parry?
Because he's good. He's got a sword. He's good with it.
Every time I play against him, I just find a new rule that he has.
Yeah, my favorite. We talked Iron Horse, which is fairly well known, but there's little things about it. Heavy warjacks and his battle group gain the cavalry rule. Light warjacks gain the light cavalry rule, and they also get to run without spending any focus, which I think that's what blew Carter's mind last time we played. His spell list is Arcane Blast, which is a very forgettable AoE PAL 13 that is all over Signar. It's not a bad spell. It's just not very useful to Signar.
Never knew he had it.
So his first spell is... the real spell, Easy Rider, which is a spell I get mad if I have to cast, though it can be useful. It friendly models beginning their activation in his control area gain Pathfinder. It's a three-cost spell. His signature spell is Full Tilt. That doesn't really come up. I don't think we have to worry about it.
No.
This spell gave me a 50-50 shot of quitting the game. Seriously.
Cray's the one that broke you.
Cray is the one... Okay, to be fair, I was playing Dwarves at the time. And so Stormwall first turn charged my driller. Killed it, and then it was up in my face.
You're a fool. What were you?
This was a question.
What did that do?
I was 15 inches off the board.
Yeah.
And so I, or maybe it was
farther
his second turn. Yeah. So I said, I should quit this game. But there's this little thing in my head that said, you're playing Rulik, so it can only get better from here. So you might as well try something else.
So Full Tilt is an upkeep spell.
Moving on.
Target Warjack and his battle group doubles its base speed during its normal movement, but it cannot make range attacks. Darn. So put that on anything. I'm actually a huge fan of putting it on the Stormwall because Covering Fire is not a ranged attack. It's instead of it. So you can move 10 and Covering Fire or charge across the planet, whatever you need to do. Guided Fire, which is another spell that this is why... Guided Fire is the reason my Cray list exists. Models in his battle group in his control area gain boosted ranged attack rolls for one turn. Mage Sight, which is also obscenely useful. Which place a 5-inch AoE completely in his control area. While a model is within this AoE, models in his battle group can ignore forest and cloud effects when drawing line of sight and ignore stealth while attacking it. Hearing a lowered battle group a lot when you hear a spell list. The last one is Pursuit, which is a great spell that I don't get to use nearly as much as I'd like to. It's a offensive upkeep spell. Target enemy model unit. If target enemy model unit advances during its activation, immediately after ending this movement, one model in this model's battle group in his control area can make a full advance. Kind of useful when you have a Warcaster with parry.
And speed 8.
And finally, his feat is... I actually love this. Friendly knockdown faction warjacks in his control area that were not knocked down this turn can immediately stand up. They can face any direction. They can charge without spending a focus. They get plus 2 inches of movement when charging. And all of their melee attack rolls are boosted. So he can boost ranged attack rolls every turn. And melee attack rolls on his feet. Combine that with Full Tilt, and that's what happens with Clint, where you get double speed plus an additional 2 inches on the charge. Can send warjacks just across the board.
It's such an insane threat range. It's like really hard to even gauge it a lot of times, because Full Tilt could be anywhere. And you're just like, oh, now it's coming out. Now a Minuteman's coming out of nowhere to do something. Or now the Stormwall just charged my caster.
So you're saying, like, theoretically, in a test game for this, a Minuteman could have walked 12, leap 5, and double-handed throw your caster to kill you?
Maybe that is a possibility.
I believe that happened. Theoretically.
So yes, regardless of what happens in our actual game, I won the test game, so that's all that matters, and I think we should just recreate that. And
Play-by-play.
Play-by-play.
Yeah.
Like so
acting with the script.
Yeah, actually, it's... Why? It would be way easier to commentary it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. How do we say that, Clint?
Commentarying it.
Okay. So his list is just all the jacks that I think are fun and neat. It's Cray and the Squire, because I haven't found a list where you don't throw the Squire in when you have 2 points. The Stormwall, largely because of guided fire. The Stormwall
largely
alone,
because it's Stormwall.
Well,
that too.
Yeah, but I'm really resistant to just throwing that out there. But the Stormwall alone makes guided fire a focus efficient feat because he's going to make more than 3 attacks. So you're getting at least 4 boosted shots for 3 focus. A lot of times you're going to get 7.
And it also gives you a bit decent heavy hitter in that list too.
Well, yeah, it's kind of fun. My all-time favorite, Minuteman. I own 2 Minutemen because Cray has made me love that Jack so much. 2 Fireflies, largely because I've had a lot of fun with 1 Firefly in Stormcallers, and I don't paint my army, so I was told not to put more infantry in there because they don't want to paint it.
Fair enough.
Strange Ways, because I'm running that many Jacks, why not? 3 Stormcallers. The Goblin Tinker, because it's a phenomenal-looking model, and I have 1 point. And Ayana and Holt, because without it, Krix and Menoth make me really angry.
And all of those light jacks can run for free and are light cavalry, so they all get the 5-inch light cav move. So they're super fast. You have a speed buff on Easy Rider and the feet, and it's just crazy threat angles. You can't even predict a lot of them because something could just walk up and kill you.
Especially with the Minuteman having leap.
Yeah.
You know, combined full tilt and leap, what is that, 17 inches worth of advanced leap and then start doing combat actions?
Right. So really what you're doing here is you're skewing threat range. You're skewing that as opposed to armor or defense, although you do a pretty good job with armor in this. But the idea is I can spot remove the models that are the most problematic to me before you can deliver them.
And you can put Fireflies in stupid locations and be triangulating, and then put another Firefly in a stupid location and triangulate, and put a
Stormpod
in a stupid location and triangulate.
I love triangulation. That's actually why I added the Fireflies, is because I wanted to actually move more
Didn't
towards
Firefly
anti-infantry.
Get canceled? Do you still have that Jack on there?
Oh, yeah, no. Yeah. You can still find it. Limited time.
Oh, okay.
You gotta act fast. The Minuteman.
This buy box head. Well, they do come in boxes.
It's true. It's true. I think the Minuteman's phenomenal, and I know it's something we wanted to talk about. Actually, talking about threat ranges real quick, I know we had spoken about it, and I kind of joked, I do not plan for assassinations when I play this army, because there's so many that you don't really have to force it. You just kind of play the game, and then wait till your turn starts, and go oh, right, I can do that and that and that, and try and kill you.
I've played against you playing Cray with various different lists. It's always, I don't feel safe until Cray is the only thing left, and even then, I'm slightly worried.
It's all part of the fun. And I know we talked about it doesn't seem like the Minuteman's a terribly popular Jack, and I have no idea why.
Nobody wants to be a Minuteman.
Well, especially in this list, when they benefit from Guided Fire, they benefit from being light cav, they can spend one to leap. You just casting Guided Fire and allocating a focus or two, you get so much work done out from Cray and Minuteman.
One of the things, Flak Field is just a phenomenal ability. And
yeah, why don't you go into how the interaction works between that and the spells that Cray has.
Yeah, Flak Field is, this model can use Flak Field once per turn at any time during its activation. It just cannot interrupt its normal movement to do so. When it uses Flak Field, models in base-to-base with it suffer an unboostable power 12 blast damage roll, and other models within 2 inches of it suffer a power 6. The amazing thing about this is it's not tied to a system, it's not tied to a weapon, it's not an attack. If my Minuteman is still alive, doesn't matter what systems you've knocked out, doesn't matter what's happened, it can flak field. So even if it's out of its control area, it's not getting any focus, this is always a threat that it has on the board. Now what you're getting, since we mentioned that it has leap and full tilt, again, this is not a ranged attack, so you're free to full tilt these. And as I had talked about, I actually had been hyping it up for a while and never pulled it off until recently. Full tilt allows it to move 12, leap, and it can still flak field, and then perform its normal combat actions. On top of this, what I do a lot with this, given the light cav, is I will move them forward, flak field, leap, take 2 boosted power 14 slug gun shots to clear out more infantry, and then move them to jam the remainder of the unit. And then my opponent has to work to get rid of it, and if they don't, they're going to get flak fielded again, which just makes them an incredible nuisance for 5 points.
And they're a high defense right off the top of it, too.
They are 14-15 with advanced deploy.
And it's normally with infantry that jam, I can just kill infantry, I can manufacture something to try and kill the infantry, like a light jack jamming. Because I can kill the light jack, that's not a problem. It's I have to kill the light jack with something minimal so I can get past it, which is the problem of when they just hop in and tie up all your stuff.
Yeah, I think it's funny that there's so much quality shooting in Signar, and they kind of pass up the fact, this thing, it's slug gun, it's range 4, but this has 2 power 14 guns on it. So for 10 points, I'm having 4 power 14 shots that I can boost the damage on. That is an incredibly high damage output. I have assassinated people with slug guns. I've now pulled off the throw. I've cleared out. I know we started another list that I started to toy around with is Minutemen and Siege, simply because flak field is automatic damage, and with that armor piercing, that's just obscene. You're just removing the 2-hit roll out of it.
Yeah, flak field on Siege's feet is dumb.
Dumb.
It's kind of fun.
There's no Minor Paint Pikemen. They're up in shield wall. Well, most of them are dead. Especially if you stack that with any sort of damage buff on top of it.
Absolutely. The other thing, I love Triangulate. Like, I think messing around with Striker 2 and taking a single Firefly, I quickly fell in love with the potential that you can get from triangulation. It, similar to Flakfield, this is not an attack. So it gets around a lot of stuff that you wouldn't realize at first until you start seeing a lot of crazy rules interactions like Epic Scar's Feet. I can't be targeted with attacks. Well, I'm not. Triangulation, you do have to be able to see your target. You do still follow normal target rules, which is kind of something that I think a lot of people when they start out may not be aware of. They do have to see what they're lightning zapping, but you don't have to worry about stealth. You don't have to worry about anything that's presenting that. It is a special action that generates a damage roll. And since it's not an attack, it's ignoring all the penalties for targeting in melee, any defensive buffs. They're all just taken out of the equation. And with Fireflies, it becomes extremely easy to pull off the beautiful triangulation where you get 3 attacks per solo.
Especially if you have a full tilt storm wall, walk into an awful place and then drop a storm pod wherever you want to. And then off that Firefly, off that storm collar, 3 guys could die.
I know, we talked about, I actually am kicking myself because I know originally you wanted to drop Assyria, which I would have just been dancing in the aisles with Assyria versus Kray, but you have to bring cavalry, which really takes a lot of my advanced threat off the table.
I'm sorry. In choosing a matchup for your Kray list, it's like, how do I not just die or put a caster that just won't die to tilt the matchup?
I want
to
win.
Full tilt the matchup.
Hey-o.
Oh. So, that's Kray. Let's move on to me talking about Epic Sorsha. For those that don't know, Epic Sorsha, she's a 16-15. With a respectable amount of damage boxes, 17.
Why? Because she's Russian.
Because she's Russian.
Yes.
I've lived through assassinations being like, K-Dorian. I still have one left. The Scar player being mad at me. So her abilities are Desperate Pace Winterguard. It's a star action, so Winterguard can get +2 speed pretty decently. She has an Elite Cadre Winterguard, which allows her Winterguard to reroll combined range attacks, which comes up occasionally. Her Warjack Bond, she can choose one Warjack to bond to, which allows her to allocate 4 focus to it. But also, if you end your activation within 2 inches of the bonded jack, you become stationary. And also, the bond grants immunity cold to that jack. She has a multi-fire quad iron, so she has range 10, power 10, that could fire 4 times a turn, potentially. And she has critical freeze on her power 13 weapon, which comes up. She can assassinate by herself.
Weapon with reach.
Weapon with reach, yes. Her spells are Boundless Charge, which is 2 cost. A target-friendly model can charge without spending focus or being forced and gains +2 movement. She has Cyclone, which is immediately makes a full advance, can makes a melee attack against all models in her melee range, and during the advance, she's immune to freeze strikes. She also has Cyclone. She also has Freezing Grip, which is a spell that doesn't make anybody mad at all. Target-friendly model / unit becomes stationary for 1 round unless it has immunity cold. It's a 4 cost, range 8, so she can just walk up and make a unit stationary. She has Iron Flesh, which is a 2 cost upkeep that gives +3 defense and -1 speed to the target unit. That's also a friendly spell. She has Razorwind, which is the typical Kador nuke spell at range 10, power 12. And she also has Shatterstorm. Shatterstorm is a really nice spell for her because it's when target friendly faction model unit directly hits and boxes an enemy model within a range or melee attack. Center a 3-inch AoE on the box model. They remove the model from play. Models in the AoE are hit and suffer an unboostable power 8 blast damage roll. So she can have just remove from play on a stick. Hey, look, now my Winter Guard removed from play. Or that cap unit removes from play. Her feat, which is not important, is Winter's Chill. Damage to enemy models without immunity cold currently in Sorcerer's control area that exceed arm is doubled this turn.
It's like the least words in a feat. That's how you know it's good.
Yes.
Least amount of words.
That feat is brutal.
You can get so much work done out of Epic Sorcerer's feat. She has long been one of my favorite casters because if she feats on something and gets decent attacks on it, it just dies. She was one of my favorite casters when Colossals just came out because everybody was running Colossals. I'm like, well, I can put so little into a Colossal and just kill it. Any damage I'm putting on a Colossal, it just explodes. It
would be half, right? You would put half into a Colossal that you normally would.
That half that I would normally
put. Mm-hmm.
I've killed so many things with that feat just because it almost doesn't matter. The only problem I have with it is exceeding armor. So her list is Sorcia. She has a Warcaster attachment, Silas Wishnailer. Her bonded jack is a Spriggan. Spriggan for the 3-inch flare AoE so I can freezing grip self unit. She has Eris 2, Gorman, Saxon, Reinhold, Ragman, Kovnik Joe, full unit of Greylord Outriders, full unit of Steelhead Cav, a min unit of Steelhead Halberdiers, and a full unit of Winter Guard Infantry with the unit attachment and one Rocketeer because I did not have points to do any more Rocketeers than one.
Her Winter Guard Death Star, which you never see her without.
Well, because of Desperate Pace Winter Guard.
Oh, yeah.
And,
it's so good.
And the combined arms, you can't not.
Yeah, it seems like a natural synergistic choice there. So I'm sure a lot of people would probably want to know. Sorcia 2 is probably most paired up often with either Beast 09 or the Behemoth.
Or a Conquest.
Most of my lists have been Conquest up until this point.
Sure. So maybe you can talk a little bit about what the Spriggan gives you as opposed to those guys.
Well, the Spriggan is combined with the natural synergy of Silas and Reinhold. The idea being that one of her best abilities, in my opinion, is the ability to remove a unit from the table at least once per turn.
You're talking about with the freezing grip.
With freezing grip, yes. Okay. So having a Spriggan in there is the best way to illuminate a stealth infantry model.
Ooh, I like how you use that word.
You like that?
I did like that.
That's a lot of letters for Clint.
It's over five, so I don't even know what's...
That's your limit. Five.
Yeah.
So it can walk 4 inches. It can drop a targeting flare within 10, clip a model in a unit, and I can cast Freezing Grip. And the combination with Silas and Reinhold, it's a pretty decent combination with Epic Sorcia and Prime Sorcia.
Mm-hmm.
Silas can give her Arcane Secrets, which is a Phantom Die, on attack and damage roll for the first spell she casts.
Yeah.
And then Reinhold can give him Lucky Charm, so I have two Phantom Die I'm throwing at it.
Right, so that's your dice fixing in that case to try and hit...
It's a 4-cost spell, yeah. And usually I want to be able to Cyclone, I want to be able to do something besides just walk up and boost a Freezing Grip on it. So having two Phantom Die, I'll roll for an 8. Like, eight is my limit. I'll roll just a straight 8 if I have two Phantom Die behind it.
Okay, so trying to hit, like, defense 14 units effectively.
So with Silas, you pretty much have the ability to, like, you know, upkeep Iron Flesh on yourself or another unit, advance forward, or charge forward, even at the distance, because it's only, what, a range 8 spell?
It's range 10 because of Silas.
Oh, there you go. So range 10, so 18-inch threat range on that spell, which is tremendous. And then you can Cyclone backwards out of threat range if need be.
Correct. And that's another thing. That's like, I don't see ever running Epic Sorcia or Prime Sorcia for that matter.
You should take Rollick with a Buccaneer.
I should.
To knock down.
In case you play Thyra.
And then...
So if you play Thyra, you got it covered.
Then freezing grip that.
So a part of this is...
Yeah, for the Thyra matchup. You have to have it for the Thyra matchup. And you see her everywhere.
I do. I saw her when I saw you play her.
Yeah, exactly. And if you would have had a Buccaneer and I would have had a Buccaneer, game over.
Yeah.
Turn two.
So the other solos in the list, I take Eris 2 because she's more often than not a decent crit drop, and not being able to knock off Crippling Grasp is super important. You know what happens when you Crippling Grasp the Greylord Outriders? They can't do anything.
They can make melee attacks.
They can make melee, so their primary thing of walking up and being able to spray things dead is off the table as soon as Crippling Grasp happens.
Listen, that's how it should be every game.
Should it?
Yeah.
I have Gorman for the Cloud. I have Saxon because nothing in this list has natural Pathfinder except the Outriders, so I needed that to fix that. Ragman's I love taking with Epic Sorcia because any debuff to armor helps me get past and actually stick damage. It's when he's in play, it's basically an extra 4 damage every attack I'm throwing with it on the feature.
Yeah, and he's got a lot of warm bodies there that he can self-sack to in the Winter Guard unit. to keep him in play until you can deliver him.
And the Winter Guard with Joe can be tough, so you have like many options to really keep him safe. Yeah. This list kind of started out as a cav-heavy list because I was shamelessly ripping off the 3-cav unit Prime Lich list, dropping my Ulans, which don't really have like a super good synergy with Sorsha to get the Winter Guard Death Star in there. Really made the list come together. To your point, I usually like run Conquest or because the bond on Conquest is really good.
Yeah.
Or you can take Behemoth so that you can potentially build a list that you're feeding and shooting damage on it.
I'd rather be playing against your Conquest list. Can you just swap that?
Maybe. Yeah.
I will say that most of the time when you and I have played either in tournaments, well, mainly in tournaments when we're throwing down these casters, but doing this against some of the Krix casters, it's always very frustrating with the Shatterstorm ruins Lich's day and a lot of the recycling elements of Krix. And so, but this is kind of a twist on that because I haven't seen you drop the Cav yet, the Steelheads, into this list.
Well, and I was trying to figure out, because I love Cav, and I was just trying to come up with a really good, mostly Cav list. In this particular situation, what the Steelheads bring that Ulans don't is Weapon Masters, because flank with Steelheads.
Right.
But something I've always really struggled with her is to get something that has a pretty decent amount of speed and hits hard.
Mm-hmm.
So you can have, like, Great Bears, or that's kind of pretty much it. Great Bears are...
Great Bears? I was going to say, I'm used to seeing the Great Bears in that list with you.
And this worked out just really well, because I don't even necessarily need the Weapon Master if I can have Ragnan push him up to 15.
Mm-hmm.
Two 15s, because they can swing twice. I mean, that's...
Well, one would be 15, because they lose... Unless they're not charging, they...
If they're all charging the same thing.
Okay, well, they get backswing, but it becomes a 13 plus Ragman 15, and the second attack would be a 13.
13, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, it's Weapon Master. You're killing whatever you're going to go after. It's mean.
Right, so placement's very important in this list to figure out how to unpack your army so that way you can deliver this on in the right order, because you got to get the flank with the Steelhead Halberdiers up there, get Ragman up there to drop Dark Shroud, and then get the Cav in to deliver the heavy hitting. So
agreed. The also the thing that came together with this list is how flexible it is. If I'm pacing off against heavy armor stuff, I have the Cav that hit hard. I have combined range attacks from the Winter Guard, which are sometimes a hidden threat because you know, like a bunch of power 14s and armor 19 dice minus 5, and you have a double damage feat. It does a lot of work. And I have the Spriggan, of course, that could charge and do something.
Yeah.
Go over to the other one. I have Shatterstorm. I have sprays on the Outriders. I have sprays on the Winter Guard themselves. If I see a lot of infantry across the field from me, I can also really punish them as well. And I have Iron Flesh to limit the type of damage I take.
Steelhead Cav also take out infantry quite well.
Yeah.
With backswing, assault, and impact attacks.
And Freezing Grip in play. You could Freezing Grip a unit, auto hit on impact attacks going right through things. It's...
Yeah, you just got to watch out for tough in that scenario. Right. But yeah, so you have a game plan for lots of bodies. You have a game plan for heavy armor. So
it really brought this list together. And Source has always been one of my favorites. He's like one of the better attrition casters in Kador for all of her abilities.
One of the better casters in your faction, just in general.
Yeah. I would put her at number one, and it really becomes like how the meta shifts. It's like how much the meta shifts towards armor, the better Source becomes, in my opinion. How this shifts towards infantry, she kind of drops off a little bit, and like a Prime Vlad or something else becomes better at that point.
Yeah.
And then do volumes of attacks with hand fade.
Right. I think you can always make an argument that the Butchers, represent that faction solidly. We've seen that experience here, but...
Especially Butcher 3 is everywhere right now.
Yes. So, well, I think in that faction, you're still looking at Sorsha 2 being in the mix, and... You know, where Kador is sitting right now, not a lot of folks are coming into a tournament saying, hey, I need a game plan for Kador as what I'm thinking about. Now, they'll have
The Crucible.
Yeah, now. But, you know, people have a game plan for high defense and high armor, which Kador will skew those ways. But, it's she's always a caster you got to watch out for because she's just very well tuned to deal with a lot of different problems. So... I don't think you wind up getting steamrolled a lot. You can grind it out if you have to, or you can assassinate if you have to.
Right. It's kind of hard to pull off her assassination. I mean, she could cyclone and charge something potentially on her feet.
Yeah. the option exists. That's the whole idea. If, you know, we're talking before, if someone pushes way aggressively forward and they leave you an opportunity to take it, you can take it.
The only problem I have with her is usually if somebody skews like really hard in one direction, like Epic Glitch is always a problem because Excarnate Bile Thralls, I can't stop it. So I just kind of take it on the chin until I can, and I can't get past the clouds. Mm-hmm. So when I'm trying to grind out Epic Glitch, it's just awful.
Mm-hmm.
But she's still one of my favorites. Ever since I started Kador years ago, she's still one of the ones that I almost always universally go back to because she's just solid. She's such a well-rounder.
Okay. So now we're going to pair her up against Kray for a battle. And so you know that Pirate Captain is bringing the armor in this, so we're going to see that side of it.
So you cherry-picked me.
Did I?
Yep.
Yeah, pretty much.
Net dick.
So, and if we want to talk about Steelhead Cab real quick, Carter, you have some
thoughts
on
it. I don't. I want to talk about
them. No?
No, we're going to talk about Flamebringers.
Okay. So Flamebringers are a really good unit. They're a defense destination. Yeah.
Have you guys looked into Gunbjorn?
We should.
Okay.
Gunbjorn with Flamebringers?
What do you have to say about Gunbjorn?
We can talk about Steelhead Cab.
Best caster in Hordes.
So, I mean, I particularly like them on this list. They're cheap. They're 1 point cheaper than almost every cav in the game.
Yeah, and I think they do as much or more work than most cav units do. I mean, in my opinion, they're one of the best, probably the second best, maybe behind Tuffalo's. The troll cav are just so good with their slam and their.
Those are trollkin long riders.
That's right.
For the layman.
Well, even on like the base.
This
of
is an
it,
audible fist bump.
They have three attacks. Right. They always have at least three attacks, more
sure.
often than not. And they have their heavy cavs, so they have impact attacks.
Absolutely.
So they're really good against infantry.
For those paying attention, they always have three attacks, more often than not.
More often than not.
Well, they, 60% of the time, it works every time. Is
yes.
that what you're saying?
They are the Sex Panther of cav.
Sure. Steelhead, halberdier, standing around, give them the flank bonus. I mean, that's probably their biggest weakness.
So for all of you listening at home, kill the halberdiers.
Exactly.
And
oh, I mean, if you're worried about them killing
you. This has been
you.
Clint's Cliff Note Corner career. Yeah. Closed captioned.
Sure. Play against Ezorsha.
If you're worried about them killing your heavies, kill the halberdiers, and they usually can't get the job done with just power 13s and power 11s. But if there's a halberdier holding a halberd next to your heavy and there's still head cav in the charge range, you can pretty much write it off.
And a lot of the friendly buffs like you could put out there that actually doesn't specify a friendly faction, like Fury or Scything Touch, they're phenomenal in a lot of lists.
Sure. I mean, another concern with them also is the fact that they're not fearless. The Steelhead halberdiers are not fearless. So if you're trying to engage like a terror-causing heavy like the Deathjack or something, you have two terror checks that have to go your way to get the flank bonus. So
if you want to increase their leadership, you only have like Stannis.
Or you can consider Lord Rockbottom.
Oh, that's true. Lord Rockbottom.
Yeah, he has a 2 point solo. If you fail a command check, you can check a little coin.
I play dwarves.
Yeah.
Okay. You don't have to explain it to
well,
me.
Well, I know you know.
But he's a but he's
I forgot about Lord Rockbottom. Crucible 2. Yeah, I like played Lost and Dropped.
Okay.
Pretty
there you go.
I think I played two games, maybe.
But Rockbottom can definitely be a good supplement. And Steelhead halberdiers are cheap, so like 4 points.
Yeah, 4 points gets you a six guys.
The Cavs 10 points, so 14 points for just an amazing
module
to drop into your,
ooh,
your
good,
list.
Good podcasting term.
There we go. I hate that term. This is mocking Mayhew with it.
Yeah.
That's fair. So if that's all we have. Thank you for listening to episode 3. Please join us next week for the Battle Report podcast.
Don't say it.
I'm getting another beer.